Most of these law codes were carved in great stone tablets and displayed in public places. And this creates the notion that the law is not the arbitrary possession of the powerful, but the possession, in fact, of all people, that it belongs to everyone, that it was public, that it obliges everyone, that everyone is subject to it. So religion and law, two important areas. A third is literature. Now, the greatest of the Mesopotamian works, indeed the greatest of the early works of human literary production, is the Epic of Gilgamesh. This is a Sumerian work. In its oldest form, it goes back probably to about 2500 BC. The versions we have today survive from about 800 BC, which is a testimony to its longevity, a testimony to its durability, to its dissemination. It's an epic. And we're going to talk about a lot of epics in these lectures, so let's pause just for a moment and describe what an epic is. An epic is a long poem, usually. It's conceivable to have a prose epic, but generally speaking, it is a poetic work. It is conceived on a grand scale. It deals with gods and heroes. It deals with important subjects. It deals with them in elevated language. And it is universalizing. It makes its points as if for all time and not for a given place and time, for all people and not just for the people mentioned in the story. So these are some characteristics of epics, and we'll talk about other ones as we go along. What about this one? It's a story basically of friendship, between Gilgamesh and his great friend Enkidu. Now, Enkidu is the natural man. The poem, first of all, has an epic, a mythic account of the civilizing process. Okay? What that means, Enkidu runs with the animals. He's the natural man. The people in the city are worried about him. And he comes down to a pool to drink all of the time. So the people in the city send a harlot out to seduce him. He has sex with the harlots. And now the animals won't come near him anymore. He's been civilized. Once again, the woman becomes the bad guy in the story about the civilizing process, the fall of Enkidu. Well, Enkidu then comes into the city. Well, Gilgamesh, who's a big, tough guy himself, has been looking for a buddy, you know, two bubbas that can hang out together. Well, now, finally, one bubba's got another one. And they go and have all kinds of amazing adventures. They kill the bull of heaven, and they fight with Humbaba, and they travel all over the place. And then Enkidu gets sick and dies. And the poem has a poignant refrain, "And the worm fastened on him." And it poses this scene as of now. One last time, I invite you to stop the clock and think, on the basis of what you now know of Western civilization, what do you think is going to happen next? Next can mean the period from, let us say, 1600 until the dawning third millennium. Or next can mean the third millennium looming before us.
We genuinely hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com or call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12. Thank you very much.
Perhaps from measuring fields? Hard to say. They developed pretty sophisticated mathematics. They developed the decimal, but also the sexadecimal system. You ever wonder why we have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour? Thank the Sumerians for that. They understood place value in numbers, for example. They understood why 35 is different from 53. That's not obvious. That's not self-evident that you go left or right or something. They understood that. They anticipated a number of Greek developments in mathematics and in science. And they left then a very considerable legacy. The legacy was of these Sumerian people conquered again and again and again, who provided in religion, in law, and in certain basic sciences a foundation from the eastern shore of the Mediterranean to the western border of Iran, or Persia in antiquity, on which one civilization after another would build, or which we may regard in a sense as kind of the foundation under the Western civilization that we'll continue to pursue in our later lectures, as indeed in the very next one when we turn to Egypt.